Turn in your Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21. We want to just read one verse, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity to come together around your word, the only place where we can find truth, the only place where we can make any sense out of the things that are taking place in this world. We pray that you would help us as we look into it for a few moments this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by making a couple of comments, if I may. One of the wonderful gifts that we have as human beings is that we are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. And one of those unalienable rights is liberty. And here in this country, that unalienable right to liberty is enshrined in the First Amendment to the Constitution. It says that the government cannot abridge or reduce or deprive us of the freedom, the liberty to speak freely. And so these remarks are made on the basis of the unalienable right of liberty and freedom of speech given to us by God Himself. All of you are aware of the CNN story that broke this week about Mark Robinson, the current lieutenant governor of this state and the Republican nominee for governor. If you get emails from Return America, you got two on Thursday from Dr. Beatty. In the first one, Dr. Beatty tells how he personally spoke to the lieutenant governor and his wife, and that Mark Robinson vehemently denies, this is a quote from the email, vehemently denies the allegations being voiced against him. The second email contains a personal message from the lieutenant governor, in which he says that this story was leaked by his opponent, Josh Stein, to CNN, and that it is a, quote, salacious tabloid trash. In this day of artificial intelligence, in this day of sophisticated computer technology, it's certainly possible to manipulate data and words to make them appear to be something that they're not. Is that what happened here? I don't know. I simply offer that as a possibility. But in thinking about it, the story does appear to have some of the earmarks of a very sophisticated political dirty trick. The timing of the release is suspicious. It came on Thursday, which was the last day at 11:59 Thursday night for any candidate, but of course, the candidate, Mark Robinson, to withdraw from the race before certain absentee ballots, I think military ballots to those who are overseas, were mailed out on Friday. Another interesting thing about the timing of the release of the story is that less than 24 hours after the story came out, in fact, on the same day, the Harris campaign already had an ad ready to go, playing former President Trump's words endorsing Robinson for governor. In fact, NBC News led their nightly newscast with the story Thursday night. just hours now after it broke. And they even showed a picture of the new Harris ad. It didn't have the sound, but it showed President Trump's words of praise for Mark Robinson. I don't know about you, but that looks like there's a whole lot of collusion going on between the Democrat Party and their surrogates in the media. Another impact of the story is that President Trump appears to be distancing himself from Mark Robinson. The lieutenant governor was not at Trump's rally in Wilmington on Saturday. Other candidates were. He wasn't. But CNN's story doesn't just impact Mark Robinson and Donald Trump's relationship. The story has also had the effect of putting Republicans up and down the ballot on the defensive. Their Democrat opponents could not get to the microphones fast enough Thursday to link them to Robinson. And of course, the media couldn't wait to ask these Republicans if you could get them. My brother Mark tried to call one or two of them. They wouldn't answer the phone. But if you could get to them, the question was, do you still support Mark Robinson? Yes or no? It's kind of like the old question. Yes or no? Are you still beating your wife? That's the question. What's happening here fits right into Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Some of you who listen to conservative talk radio are familiar with Saul Alinsky. He was a community organizer and an advocate for social change in Chicago back in the 50s and 60s. He died in 1972, but not before Hillary Clinton had an opportunity to interview Saul Alinsky twice. She chose Alinsky's work as the topic for a thesis that she was writing in 1969 at Wellesley College. She entitled her thesis, "There Is Only the Fight, An Analysis of the Alinsky Model." And may I say, respectfully, she has lived by that model throughout her political career. Rule number 13 for radicals is this: pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. This is exactly what's happening to Mark Robinson. He's been picked and frozen and personalized and polarized and cut off from the support network of the Republican Party. How many Republicans, elected Republicans, do you know in the last couple of days who have had the courage to come out and say they support Mark Robinson? He's been cut off as much as the media can do from any sympathy that people might have. The tactic comes right out of Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, right out of that playbook. The Democrat machine is something to watch. They will stop at nothing. Let me say that again. They will stop at nothing to promote their agenda and to put the people in office that will carry it out. Folks, I do not know if Mark Robinson wrote those things on those websites. But here's what I do know. He's the nominee of the Republican Party. He was chosen as that by you and me. He received 65% of the Republican vote in the primary. In fact, he got 187,000 more votes in the Republican primary than Josh Stein did in winning the Democrat primary. I was looking back this morning in 2020, in his successful run for lieutenant governor, Robinson received just 34,000 less votes than Roy Cooper. He received way over 200,000 more votes as for lieutenant governor than Dan Forrest, the Republican nominee, did for governor. He's a proven vote getter, which is another reason he must be handicapped. But for better or worse, this is just exactly like a marriage. In sickness and in health, for better or worse, he is the nominee. For him to step down and have the state Republican Party hierarchy appoint a replacement, I believe would be a sure recipe for defeat. Not to mention the disenfranchising of 666,500 Republican voters who voted for Robinson. It's amazing how quickly tyranny spreads and gets adopted. Think about it. 2 months ago, Joe Biden pushed out of being president. Kamala Harris in. To prevent anybody else being nominated on the convention floor in Chicago, they held a virtual convention, if you will, where the delegates voted online before the convention to nominate Kamala Harris. So there was nobody else going to be nominated at that convention, folks. It was a foregone conclusion. And the Democrats had no problem disenfranchising 14 million voters who voted for Joe Biden. The Republicans in this state do not need to go down that road. Here's the primary thing. Democrat Josh Stein must not be elected governor of this state. That's the primary thing. He has to be defeated at the ballot box, and we're just 44 days away from that. Make no mistake, Josh Stein is a loyal soldier of the Democrat Party, which means, among other things, that he believes in abortion right up to the moment of birth. It's what his party believes. It doesn't matter if they deny it. That's what they believe. Just a few days after the Dobbs decision in 2022 that overturned Roe versus Wade, the Democrats in the U.S. Senate had a bill ready to go that would allow abortion right up to the time of birth. Not only that, the Democrat Party in Washington, in Raleigh, opposed the Abortion Survivors Protection Act that would have allowed babies that survive abortions to receive the life-saving medical care that they need. And so to deny that care, which is the Democrat Party's position locally and nationally, is to just let this newborn baby who has survived an abortion die. One of their own described it, former governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. And what he said applies to late-term abortions and babies that survive abortions. Here's what Northam said. If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. Does that sound like late-term abortion to you? The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. You don't have to have 20/20 read between the line visions to know what the discussion is about. Do you want this baby created in the image of God to live or die? That's the discussion. And if you don't believe that's Stein's position, Then ask him where he was in 2019 when the North Carolina House Republicans were trying to override Democrat Governor Roy Cooper's veto of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Where was he? Silent. Because he supported the defeat of the bill. So the Democrat position, Josh Stein's position, is infanticide. In addition, Josh Stein has consistently refused to defend restrictions on abortion when they have been challenged in court. After the Dobbs decision in 2022, Republican leaders came to Stein and they urged him, if he would, to reinstate the 20-week ban on abortion. He refused to do it. As the Charlotte Observer reported, he would not, quote, take action. This is Stein's words. He would not take action that would restrict women's ability to make their own reproductive health care decision. There's the language of all the leftists in this country, referring to abortion as reproductive health care. After the Republicans passed the 12-week ban in 2023, Stein, according to WRAL News, would not defend the state law in a lawsuit over new abortion restrictions, and the reason is that, quote, he agrees with the group suing the state over the law. And who was that group suing the state? Who was the group that Josh Stein agreed with? Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. That's Josh Stein. But that's not all. Recently, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, in an 8-6 decision, has ruled that the North Carolina State Employees Health Care Plan must pay for transgender treatments, like sex reassignment surgeries. But you know, if you think about it, that's just the beginning of the treatment. After the physical treatment, after those costs, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars does that take? But after that, there's the ongoing psychological treatment in the following years that those who have ruined their lives and come to realize it, they'll have to have mental treatment. They'll have to have ongoing physical treatment. So who's fighting for North Carolina in the courts? Is it Attorney General Josh Stein? No. It's State Treasurer Dale Falwell. And because of his courage, 23 other state attorneys general have signed on to the case as friends of the court in support of North Carolina's fight against having the state employees' health plan pay for this foolishness. But Stein wants no part of it. Why? Because he supports the radical LGBTQ agenda. He supports Harris and Tim Walz. Tim Walz, wow. In Minnesota, Tim Walz put feminine products in boys' bathrooms in the schools. He very boastfully says that he made Minnesota a sanctuary state where young people can come, and if they can just get to Minnesota, they'll be protected there. They can have sex reassignment surgery. They can have the hormone treatment that goes along with all of this. And these confused young people will be cut off from their parents if they can just get to Minnesota. Their parents will have no say in what takes place in the lives of their own children. That's Tim Walz. And I suggest it's Attorney General Josh Stein. This man who supports the radical Democrat agenda for this country. That man does not need to be the governor of this state. I'm voting for Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. None of the things in that CNN report are in the league with murdering babies and promoting the radical transgender agenda as Mark Stein does. This is what we're up against in the Democrat Party. A party that would do anything to win. A party that is unmoored from anything that is right and moral. A party whose leaders, as we read in Psalm 2, have taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And the bands that they've broken asunder and the cords that they have cast away are the bands and cords of the Word of God living, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God written, the King James Bible. And when the bands and cords of the Word of God, living and written, are broken and cast away, then there's no king in the land. The Lord Jesus is rejected. There are no boundaries. There are no restraints. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And the result is chaos and confusion. The result is the loss of individual liberty and freedom. Folks, the Democrat Party may have been, years ago, a rival party to the Republican Party. Unfortunately, the leadership of the Republican Party is still living back in those days. And that's how they view, I believe, the Democrat Party, as rivals. Sometimes we win, sometimes they win, but we're all headed in the same direction, or to the same place, maybe by different directions, you know. The Democrat Party is not a rival party. It's the mortal enemy of this country. And the principles on which this country was founded, the Word of God, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. The Democrat Party is the mortal enemy of those things. It must be defeated at the ballot box. And again, we're just 44 days away. We must keep our resolve. We have to keep our resolve, folks. If the Democrats win the presidency, if they keep the U.S. Senate, and they take the U.S. House, then our condition is going to be exactly what the Lord described, I believe, in Genesis chapter 11. I'd like for you to turn back there, if you would, for just a minute, to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. The conditions that existed here are described in the middle of verse 3. The root cause of the conditions that existed here are described there in the middle of verse 3. And they had brick, that which man made, for stone. There's only one stone in this book, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected, they disallowed the living stone, the chief cornerstone, the one Peter talks about, chosen of God, elect and precious, the stone that God has made the head of the corner, the one that God has made both Lord and Christ and exalted him, as we read in Ephesians, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. These men rejected the stone. And so when they rejected the giver of unalienable rights, then individual liberty is lost, and it's replaced by tyranny. That's what we see in verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. There was no freedom of speech here. It's exactly what the Democrats believe in. Remember, we need to have long memories, folks. Remember the government collusion in the last election and during COVID to ban speech that they deemed misinformation and propaganda? They banned it on Facebook and Twitter. There were people trying to talk about truthful things concerning COVID. That's misinformation. People who were talking about the election. I'm not going to get off on that. But they were banned on Facebook and Twitter. Just the other day, Hillary Clinton did an interview on MSNBC. And she called for the arrest of Americans spreading disinformation. Now, never mind that she paid for the Russia collusion hoax and spread all of that disinformation. No, no, no. You don't get arrested for that. But people who speak truth, that's the disinformation. The time will come, saith the Lord, when evil will be called good and good will be called evil. Of course, disinformation is any speech that is critical of the government and its policies. The Democrats want not only this country to be of one speech and of one language, but the whole earth. And at the head of this centralized government system here was a dictator, a man who is a picture of the Antichrist, who's soon going to come on the scene, by the way. His name here is Nimrod. And his plan, because he controlled all the levers of power in the government, his plan was to build this socialist utopia here on earth, a tower whose top would reach unto heaven. And something that the Lord said about this government, where one man controls all the power in the government, is very, very important to see. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Think about that. That is spoken by the God who is the author of language. That is spoken by the God who is not an exaggerator. He speaks the truth plainly. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Folks, you can write that verse over what's at stake in this election. If the Democrats win the presidency and if they control both houses of Congress, then nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. They're going to come along. They're going to do away with the filibuster. So things will pass in the Senate just on a straight up and down vote. It'll destroy the Senate from what the founders intended it to be. They'll make Puerto Rico a state, maybe, add two more Democrat senators. Make it almost impossible for any real opposition to ever be elected again. They must be defeated at the ballot box in 44 days. That begins with preparation. And the first and foremost preparation is prayer. I'd like for you to turn over to the book of Joel for just a minute. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, that's you and me if we're saved. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, here's the prayer, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. So the first and foremost preparation for this election is prayer. Because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then we need to put feet on our prayers. We do that by registering to vote. You can register during the early voting period that begins on October the 17th. You can register at the early voting site and you can vote that day. Honestly, that's probably the simplest thing to do. If you go on the North Carolina Board of Election website, they tell you that you can register online through the DMV. Now, if any of you have been to the DMV in recent days, you will have a natural skepticism to that suggestion. Gail and I spent 6 hours at the DMV about couple of months ago just to get her license renewed, not take a driving test. So it's just me, but I wouldn't register through the DMV. Or you can go on the State Board of Election website. You can register that way. You can register by mail. If you want to go those routes, then you've got until Friday, October 11th. To do that. So each of us need to make sure we're registered to vote. Is our address correct? Is there anything that's wrong about our registration that could put us into being in the provisional ballot category? Now, I'm no election expert, but this is the time to get all of these things fixed. Then we need to make sure our family and friends are registered to vote. And they understand the issues. And of course, then we need to vote. Whether you vote early, whether you vote on election day, vote. Take people to vote if they need a ride. Mobilize. That's what we need to do in this church. We need to mobilize. There are elderly people in this church. There are people that are shut in, and we need to get them out to vote. Get them to the polls. Listen, the enemy will be doing it. Don't you think for 1 minute that they won't. There's one other point back in Genesis chapter 11, if you'll turn back there. Notice in verse 5, when things reach this point in Babel, the whole earth of one language, one speech, here's this man with a one-world mindset of government, controlling all the levers of government, completely immersed in humanism, brick for stone, rejecting the Lord. When that happened, when things reached this point in Babel, the Lord came down. The Lord came down. In verse 7, God says, go to, let us go down. Folks, God is about to come down. He's about to come down. The Lord Jesus is about to come to the air and take his people out of this world. Do you know him today? That's the question. Are you one of his people? Are you one of his children? You can be this morning. Right where you are, you can humble your heart and you can lay down your rebellion. You can take your place as a sinner. And you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If we know him today, we need to occupy. Carry on is what that word means. We need to carry on and be about our Father's business till he comes. And that includes voting. It includes working to defeat the enemies of God. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That we might, until the Lord comes back, continue to have Calvary Memorial Church, to be able to meet like this in freedom, to be able to have Calvary Christian School, to train up our children in the way that they should go, to teach them the truth. We need to be found faithful when he comes, that we might not be ashamed at his appearing. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we just pray for our land today. We pray for our country. We have forsaken you, and we're reaping the consequences. This nation has sown to the wind, and now it's reaping the whirlwind. We pray that you would work in this election, that we might continue to live in peace, that we might continue to be able to preach your word, that we might be able to continue to teach our children. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.